Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Today is going to be episode 20 of Bees in the News. So today we've got, as usual, we've got five articles coming your way. And these are a little bit shorter this week, so I'm probably going to read just about all of them. So let's go ahead and jump right in and get to it. This first article is coming to us out of California. A rare San Francisco leafcutter bee has been spotted in Marin County, California. The first sighting of the insect since 1980, the Sacramento Bee reported. A conservation group called Tamalpais Bee Lab set out specifically to find the elusive bee and accomplish their mission. Tamalpais Bee Lab is a branch of OneTAM, a partnership among the National Park Service, California State Parks, Marin Water, Marin County Parks, and the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy. This is hopeful news in a time when we are hearing a lot of trouble for insects, especially pollinators. Sarah Leon Guerrero, a program manager with the Conservancy, who manages the lab and was the one to spot the bee, said in a release. Bee populations in particular have been struggling lately as a result of human-caused pollution, overheating, and other factors. Extreme weather events have threatened bees worldwide, while new research indicates that pesticide usage may be harming bees even more than previously thought. All of that is bad news, not just for bees, but for everyone. Bees are crucial pollinators that keep ecosystems healthy and thriving. Without them, we risk losing a lot of plant life, including important crops essential for maintaining food supplies. Luckily, we can all do our part to keep bees around by planting native plants in our gardens. Native plants support local pollinators, which in turn support the entire ecosystem. As for the San Francisco leafcutter bee, California officials see the sighting as a positive sign of overall ecosystem health. If a species turns up after 50 years, it gives us hope that others are still out there too, Hilary Sardinas of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife said in a release. Other rare species recently spotted in the wild include a northwestern pond turtle, also in the Bay Area, and a Canada lynx sighted in Vermont. So, how about that? That's pretty good news there for the San Francisco leafcutter bee. Okay, the next one's coming to us out of, it says Geneva, and it's coming from, I guess it's a suburb maybe of Chicago, Chicago, Illinois here in the U.S. Dispute between neighbors over beehive leads to calls for regulations in Geneva. Honeybees in Richard Forbes' backyard make a soft buzz as they fly in and out of their two hives in the 500 block of Logan Avenue in Geneva. A 20-foot-long pollinator garden in the yard offers purple coneflower, red and yellow firewheel, cleome, mauve joe pie weed, red bee balm, blue barrage, and deep pink asters, all attractive to pollinators. Shallow saucers hold water for the honeybees, each with wood planks so the bees don't fall in and drown. However, neighbor Alicia Hines says her life has changed since Phobes and his bees moved in on June 30, 2023. She asked Geneva City Council members to consider regulations. City staff is to bring a draft nuisance order that would possibly limit the number of bees allowed and include on-site water source requirements. Bee complaints. I have lived in this house 20 years, Hines said. The minute he put those bees down, the bees were all swarming into my yard and into my hot tub area. They go to my bird baths, to any source of water. Hines said she was allergic to bee stings because she was stung once and the back of her leg swelled up. She now carries an EpiPen. I have 20 years of gardening. And it has a dot, 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 so I'm assuming she said experience and maybe some other things in there. If everything is in bloom, they are just swarming my flowers, Hines said. The last thing I want is an issue with my neighbor. In response to a request from Hines, Phobes said he moved the hives to the other side of his yard away from her fence, which, as everybody listening here should know by now, is not going to make a difference. Okay, back here to the article. There is a place for bees, but not on small city lots, Hines said. Beekeeping as not a nuisance. Beekeeping as not a nuisance. I don't know what they mean by that, but it is a quote, so we'll leave it there. Hines spoke to Geneva alderpersons about the issue during a meeting in July. Phobes and fellow urban beekeeper John Mazur followed up at a city council meeting last month. Mazur urged city council members not to create an ordinance to regulate beekeeping. Beekeeping is not a nuisance, Mazur said. Phobes said he began beekeeping in April of 2021 as a hobby to enjoy with his now 12-year-old son at the time they lived in Chicago, I've grown to love it for many reasons, one of which is that I get to experience it with my son, Phobe said. While St. Charles, Batavia, and Kane County have beekeeping regulations in place, Geneva does not. In his first encounter with Hines, Phobe said she showed him a video of bees drinking water from her bird bath. She was upset and concerned about safety and concerned that these were my bees, Phobe said. Though there was no way to confirm they were his, Phobe said he gave her the benefit of the doubt and said he would put more water sources in his yard. He moved the hives 100 feet away from her fence. Phobe said he tried to ease her fears by explaining the honeybees are docile and utterly disinterested in bothering people when they're engaged in foraging activities. I have since extended a few olive branches to her. I brought over homemade brownies. I brought Christmas cookies, Phobe said. I have heard nothing from her since that first week that I moved in about 13 months ago. Quote, the most responsible path. First ward alderperson Anais Boering said settling a neighbor dispute is not her job to resolve. I hear and understand their perspectives, said Boering, who has spoken with both Hines and Phobes. From a policy viewpoint, what is the most responsible path Geneva can take, balancing people's interest in pursuing hobbies in their yards with adjacent property owners able to feel comfortable and safe in their yards, Boering said. Consideration of a beekeeping ordinance has not yet been scheduled for committee consideration. Okay, so that's the end of the article. That's a really, really tough situation. I think you folks have heard me mention before about the importance of engaging with your neighbors. I mean, it doesn't matter what the topic is, really. If you're in a dispute of some sort with your neighbors, it can really, really make things problematic and frustrating and painful. So my recommendation is if you're thinking about, let's put yourself in the situation of these folks here, you're thinking about buying this house, you know, maybe you even ask the person who's next door, hey, how you doing? I'm looking at buying this house. By the way, I see you have a pretty robust garden in your yard there. I happen to be a beekeeper. Would you have any challenges if I had a couple of, you know, a couple of colonies back there? You would expect that somebody who's pretty active in gardening, as the young lady stated that she was, you would think that she would understand the importance of the pollinators and how good they are for her garden. I definitely don't think that because her leg swelled up one time that that means that she is allergic to bees. She definitely had a response to it. But, you know, there's a difference between saying, like, I have an actual allergic reaction. There's a big difference between, like, seasonal allergies and an allergic reaction. Like that person who eats shellfish or peanut butter who is allergic to shellfish and peanut butter and grabs their throat and falls down because they can't breathe. They are having a true anaphylactic response to something that they are actually allergic to. She just had a very localized response, which doesn't necessarily mean that she is allergic. But anyway, I completely understand the concern of both parties, but it just, man, have that discussion up front because it'll just save everybody a lot of pain and suffering. There's nothing that, was it Phobes, I think his name was, there's nothing that this guy can do to solve the problem as long as bees are in his backyard. They're going to go next door. They're going to land on her stuff. He'll get rid of his bees, and then she'll see that there are still bees showing up. You know, what do you do, right? Okay, so this next one, I'll give you a little bit of commentary afterwards, but I've talked about this a few times before. This is coming to us out of the Rio Grande Valley in Texas from KRGV.com. I guess it's KRGV-TV, maybe. Two people hospitalized following bee attack in Edinburgh. A man and woman were attacked by bees in Edinburgh on Wednesday, according to a news release. A city spokesperson said the Edinburgh Fire Department responded to the bee attack at the 7,000 block of East State Highway 107. They said the male and female were doing yard work when they were attacked. The male was found unconscious while the female was semi-conscious. They were both taken to DHR Health. Edinburgh City spokeswoman Roxanne Lerma said both individuals were in stable conditions and referred all other questions to the Hidalgo County Sheriff's Office. So that's interesting. The reason that I brought this article up is people get stung on a regular basis. I mean, I think this is kind of a little bit beyond just getting a couple of bee stings here. But again, this is Texas, right? And we know that there are Africanized bees in Texas. And I beat this drum all the time. And I even did it in one of my tips of the day the other day on YouTube, and it's like you can't watch these TikToks and these, you know, videos, Instagram, YouTube, wherever you're watching them, you can't watch these videos of somebody walking up with no gear and just being like, oh, look at the happy little honeybee today, oh, they're so sweet and gentle, ooh, I'm going to kiss this one. Like, you can't approach bees that way unless you already know that they are a kind, they're kind and gentle. Unless you already know that they are a gentle bee, because they will lay the smackdown on you and they will do bad things to you. And like, here's again, these folks are just out in the yard doing stuff and they were found unconscious because they had literally been stung so many times. So that's why I say, like, yes, anything can happen when you're cutting the grass or working in the yard or whatever it might be. But particularly when you're in the South in the U.S., I mean, you got to be paying attention and you got to think about that as a beekeeper. Just treat everything like it's Africanized until proven otherwise. You're not going to go wrong, right? Wrong, right? Okay, next one. This is coming to us from the Yellowstone Public Radio out of Montana. Montana to identify and document bee populations in statewide bee atlas. Montana bug conservationists and volunteers are compiling an atlas of Montana bees to better understand where bees are in the state and where they are not. Montana kicked off its documentation efforts this year with Xerces Society Invertebrate Conservation leading the effort. Livingston-based Xerces, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, it's X-E-R-C-E-S, so I'm going with that till someone tells me otherwise. Livingston-based Xerces entomologist Michelle Toshak says Montana has one of the most diverse bee populations with 29 species. The reason for that is that we have these western bumble species meeting these eastern bumblebee species. Montana is just this convergence zone, said Toshak. According to Xerces, species of concern include the western bumblebee and the American bumblebee. Amanda Hendricks with the U.S. Forest Service in Montana says right now they don't know what species are in Montana or where, and the agency is helping fund the project through the bipartisan infrastructure law. In general, pollinators and bees play a really important role in ecosystem health and its sustainability, said Hendricks. The first field season wrapped up this summer, and Michelle Toshak with Xerces says she'll be identifying more than 2,000 bees, with findings to be released later October or early November. So that is it for that one. Very cool, out of the great state of Montana. And last but not least today, this is an article that we covered this in the news segment on July 10th is when we originally covered it. But we're back for a little more information. Northern Ontario beekeeper says she lost nearly 2 million bees this season. In June, CTV News Northern Ontario told the story of a Greater Sudbury area beekeeper who lost half of her bee population, about 1.5 million bees, due to what she believed was an acute chemical kill. Now, testing done at the University of Guelph's Agriculture and Food Laboratory has confirmed that was the case. Leyland is the owner-operator of McCullough Family Farm and Apiary and the True North Honey Company. She told CTV News that since the last time our cameras caught up with her, she has experienced even more loss and now has lost almost 2 million bees in total. This is not just about myself or the 200 and some beekeepers just in the Sudbury district, she said. This is our native pollinators. My bees, like my colleagues have said in previous articles, is my bees are the canary in the coal mine. There is a problem here, a catastrophic environmental problem that's about to come down on us that wasn't here 5 years ago. Costly testing. Thanks to more than $10,000 raised through a GoFundMe initiative, Lalonde was able to send her bees away for testing. And while she won't specify which chemicals were found in the bees, she did say there was a variety of fungicides as well as pesticides. If my math is correct, it did exceed the LD50, which is the lethal dose of pyrethroids that were in the on-the-bee sample as one of the bee samples, she said. I have to read that again because that's a quote. I don't want you to think I'm misreading this. It says, which is the lethal dose of pyrethroids that were in the on-the bee sample as one of the bee samples, she said. Okay, so that's, maybe you can figure that one out. That was the fresher one here, as well as within the pollen within my colonies. So I will say that, yes, there was something that did show up. Now, who used it? How was it applied? That's up to the ministry to find out. Ontario Ministry of Environmental Investigating. In a statement to CTV News, a spokesperson for the province's Ministry of Environmental Conservation and Parks said in part, ministry staff are following up with local commercial pesticide operators to assess whether any local residential pesticide applications took place around the time of the June 14, 2024 bee kill. We are assessing the available information to help determine what may have caused the bee kill, and we'll get back to the business owner when that assessment is complete. Valon says she intends to rebuild, relocate, and continue to educate and advocate. She currently has 15 original surviving colonies preparing to go into winter, a number she said should be more than 75. So yeah, that's definitely no good, but you know, hopefully we can plan for a good season for the Sudbury Bulldogs. All right, everybody, that is all I've got for you for this episode of In the News this week. If you come across an article that you think would be great, and it's current, we got to get stuff within the last week, but if you find a good current article that you'd like to share with everybody and like me to put out, please let me know. Send it over to me, Jeff, at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. And you can always join our Discord room. There's a link to that on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage, where I post links to all the In the News articles. And on the Discord room, you can just email me a link, or I'm sorry, you can just post in the news section. You can just post the link in there, and I'll pick it up and include it in the next week's article. So that's all I got for you today, folks. Take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.